Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast Club Edition. In this extra kind of bonus episode, we are going to be talking about a number of different retro and classic content that is available on Disney Plus. So these episodes go up a little bit early for Patreons, and then it goes available to everybody else. And Patreons also get to choose and sort of pick which movies we are doing, so definitely be one to check that out if you're over on Patreon. So big thank you to all of your support for helping us out. It really does make a big difference. So James, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Disney Plus. What I haven't seen this movie. It was a kind of thing of like I watched it and I'm like, man, I didn't remember half of this stuff. What did you think of Snow White?
I'm going to one up you. I didn't remember like three quarters of it. No, we're not going to gatekeep Snow White. No. Yeah. I don't think I've seen this since I was a kid. I mean, like a kid. We're, yeah, you know, the original target audience for this. And I was kind of amazed at how much about this movie I didn't know, you know, just from the story, not even background stuff, not like behind the scenes things. Just, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I don't think I knew that happened in this movie.
It's that kind of weird thing. And I think maybe for us, as we are theme park geeks and we like going to Disney theme parks, it's that kind of thing of like, you know, the music, we've done the rides, we've done the snow train, we've done the right, you know, there's certain music that is used throughout the music stuff. And just in general, Disney utilized a bit with them dancing and singing and some of the songs. But yeah, it was a kind of thing of like, I mean, it's like, I didn't own this one on VHS. So I know I probably had to rent it or maybe watched it on television if it aired. But, you know, when you think of how old this movie is, it's like, it does hold up very well. There are certain aspects that it doesn't. I mean, Snow White is a little bit annoying in it. The
just a little bit. Her voice actress. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's obviously a product of the time, but yeah, her voice actress is really shrill.
Yeah. It's just, and it's that kind of thing of like, the only thing that really gets me of like, you look at it there and you go, oh, could you imagine if they released this movie now? Of the reaction to, like, literally this bloke turns up, goes, hello, and she goes, oh, hello, see you all later, bye, I'm running off and marrying him. And it's just like, it's, yeah, like, it's like, okay. It's like, talk about, yes, my entire life is fixed now because I've met a bloke.
Yeah, let's not do a feminist read of early Disney movies. They don't hold up well when you do a feminist read of them.
It's just, I was chuckling going, yeah, that just really is quite, especially after watching some, like, Frozen 2 this week. It was a little bit like, yeah, we've moved a long way since the 1930s. You're thinking like, you know, what, 90 years now? It's like, certain stuff of it works so well, like the dwarfs and the villain. But yeah, Snow White is just really annoying.
And it's a problem. It's the voice acting. You know, it's a very high pitch, non-realistic voice. The rest of the characters are for the most part fine. The Evil Queen, of course, her voice is great. You know, very menacing, very like, oh, I don't. Very obviously the villain, not a subtle character.
Yeah.
But no, there are no subtle characters in this.
Yeah.
But you get the whole villain vibe from her, and some of the scenes towards the end are really dramatic. They do hold up well, but it was funny for me, because you watch the animation of it, and you keep in mind, of course, this is the first full length animated movie, so they didn't really know what they were doing, and some parts of it look fantastic even today.
Yeah.
You know, the smoothness of the animation when they're dancing or when she's singing in the forest at the beginning. The animals doing their little things, the dwarfs when they're in the mines, they look great. And then you watch her lip sync, and specifically hers, Snow White's lip syncing, you're like, that's not even close. I've seen Japanese and Chinese dubs, which are closer than that. And you're like, what? But it's obviously they didn't know how to do it yet.
No. But yeah, it still looks stunning. There's still that thing of like the Wicked Witch, and when she becomes the old lady, I never remembered that scene of like her becoming, you know, this haggard old woman and stuff. Like, oh, that was a bit like, okay, that was like really well done. I completely forgot. And then that whole scene of her like trying to kill them with like, I'm gonna stand here on a rock, and like the way she went out at the end was like, yeah, that was really stupid.
They were still figuring out the feature length storytelling. It's one of those things where you look at a classic movie. You can also do this with, say, Citizen Kane, Seven Samurai, all these classic movies that we hold up as pillars of their type of movie. And you go, Citizen Kane was a groundbreaking movie. There were all sorts of new techniques. It's considered by some as the greatest movie of all time, yada, yada, yada. You watch it with a modern perspective. You're like, this isn't all that great. So you do have to watch them with the context of when they were made in mind too. Because you'll look at Snow White, you look at Citizen Kane, Seven Samurai, and go, wow, these are really cliche. And it's like, yeah, they wrote the cliches.
There was nothing before this. This is what became the textbook. This is what started it all. And it is that kind of thing of like, if you're gonna start like we say, watching classics, we thought, well, this was the perfect one to kind of kick off this kind of series with, because it is just that quintessential Disney classic. And it is one that maybe a lot of us know, or we think we know, but we haven't maybe seen it in so long. Or, you know, the whole thing of them coming in and out the vault, you know. But yeah, it's just the fact that this one is so old, but at the same time, it still looks so fresh. Obviously, they've kept updating it in terms of where it's not in its original, you know, they're making it look nicer and nicer as they keep restoring it. But the music, it still holds up. The animation of the dwarfs still looks great. I mean, I compare that to like when they tried to reboot it with like a new modern cartoon. It didn't look nothing like the original ones. And everyone's like, the original ones still look best, because that's what we've had 90 plus, you know, nearly 90 years of having those characters. And some of the music, and I think we were watching, you know, when you're watching his old music, like the way that they do music, it's just they don't do that nowadays. You know, like when you're watching, for example, Frozen 2, and you listen to the music, it's like, it's all so planned, or not so much planned, but it's, you know, the style of music from that era was so different than anything we get now. And it was really nice just sitting back and watching this movie.
Yeah, when you see the modern Disney, and I'm going to start the modern era at about Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, kind of all the music, no matter what the context of the song is, is just bombastic and loud and dramatic. And, you know, Ariel's reaching up to the sea and going, I want this. And it's, you know, the orchestra's in full bloom and everything like that. But you go back to Snow White and it's like, she's just kind of singing a little song to the birds, you know, just singing about how happy she is. And that's the song. It doesn't have huge crescendos. It doesn't have a climactic moment. It's just, I'm happy being who I am in the forest with my little animal friends.
Yeah. No, it's a really lovely movie. And it's definitely one I would say to a lot of Disney fans of, watch it again, you know, remind yourself of some of these classics. So, you know, remember the fact that they are nearly 90 years old and things have changed, but the classic storytelling arc and the way they do it, this is how they started from. Like we said, it's difficult to look at it now of our eyes of what we know now, and maybe people coming in younger looking at it going, this is awful. And it's like, yeah, but the whole point of this is that you're learning from history and learning that things have changed and evolved. You know, we didn't get to Frozen 2 this week straight away. It's taken hundreds of movies and shorts and thousands of things to get to that point, and they've just keep tweaking it. And this was the first, and you think, this is what they started out with, you know. And they definitely set the tone. So I mean, you watch like classic footage from like the opening night of the premiere, and you see the characters dressed up and they look horrendous. And you know, it's all black and white, and it's all set in the, you know, set before World War II, you know, it's out before World War II. You know, so much of the world has changed since then, but it still holds up and tells the same. If you showed this to a kid now, they wouldn't know any different. And it's just, you know, it just really does just hold up. And that's the arc of an amazing movie, if it can do that, you know, because I'm not being funny, but you cannot take something like Ralph Breaks the Internet and tell me in 90 years that one's going to be something that people are going to want to watch.
I think that the shelf life of Ralph Breaks the Internet in terms of relevancy is not going to be all that long. Granted, I enjoyed the movie, but it is very heavily invested in pop culture, and that pop culture is not going to exist all that far in the future. But Snow White, it's a timeless story. It's a straightforward story. You can adapt it to any time period. You can adapt it to any situation. It just happens to be told in this way, the fairy tale style, because that's where it originated. But you can do anything with it, and you can show this movie 100 years from now. You know, it'll come up on its 200th anniversary in 2137 or whatever, and you will still be able to watch it. Sure, it will be dated. You know, people will probably point out all of the politically incorrect things of whatever that time period are, the 2137 political incorrectness. And, but you just go, this is what it was when it came out. And yeah, there's going to be problems, but I think part of watching this, if you're going to watch this with your kid or your nephew, niece, whoever, it's important to give the kids context, because they are going to look at this and go, this is my Saturday morning cartoon has better quality than this. I mean, kids these days don't have Saturday morning cartoons, but that's not the point. But being able to have a conversation about it, being able to say, you know, it was created in this way. The multi-plane feature, you know, maybe don't use those words, but, you know, with the backgrounds that can move.
This is older than grandma.
This is older than grandma. This might be older than great grandma.
This is what grandma grew up watching. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of grandparents sitting down with their grandkids watching this and showing them, this is what I watched when I was a kid. And that's going to be great.
And they're going to have the same stories that our parents had too, where you get to the end of the movie and you've got that big fight and you're just like, that terrified the heck out of me as a kid. Yeah. And your little kid will be going, that wasn't scary at all. It looks so fake.
I watched it last night.
And it's like, but it was scary. I remember it being scary as a kid, both this and the ending to several of the classic Disney movies. I don't think I had nightmares exactly, but it was definitely like, I don't want to watch this again, Mom. That was a little too much for me.
I think, again, it's like generally as a kid, I don't know if we didn't tend to watch a lot of the princess movies. They weren't high on our watch list. So I've tended to watch them more as like an adult. And it was that kind of thing of like, this was not part of my childhood. The part of my childhood was hearing the music at the theme parks, you know, on the fireworks shows. And that was where, and, you know, when you watch the montages and they show all this stuff included in it and they use the music, that's where it's become part of Disney without actually even watching the movie. And that was for me of like, you know, so much of it was recognizable. Same thing like with Pinocchio and all the rest of it, but it was very much like so much of it has become ingrained in Disney life. And then you're like, oh, there's bits in between, you know, like the bits where, you know, the horse are riding the deers and stuff like that. I didn't even remember that part of it.
It's actually weird sometimes when you go back and watch these movies and you're so used to, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star being part of the fireworks show or I've Got No Strings on Me or, you know, even the songs from Snow White or Cinderella. And then seeing them in the original context is almost more jarring than hearing them at the parks. You're like, oh, I forgot that this is where that came from. And the songs, like you're talking about, kind of exist independently of them. Now, Snow White, I think, is a little bit of an exception on that because it does have songs, but other than say the opening song with her singing to the animals, there's nothing that none of them have really reached like an iconic status the way some of the Pinocchio songs did.
Hi-Ho is really the only one that I would.
Hi-Ho. Yeah. Sorry. I forgot about Hi-Ho. That of course is the song of Snow White, which is funny because she's not even in the song at all, but
I just, again, it's definitely worth checking out. Looking at it, you know, that kind of thing of this is what Disney Plus offers, is it offers the ability to go back and watch some of these classic stuff which you might not have watched or you've not watched in years. I mean, if I don't watch Snow White for another 10 or 20 years, fine, I probably might not, but it's been probably that long since I watched it the first time, and it's just nice to have them there. Some people might have watched this so many times it's their childhood or they had it, but for me, you know, it wasn't a childhood movie that I watched over and over. It was, like I said, what I saw at the parks and, you know, the overall part of Disney. And yeah, just, I enjoyed watching it. And that was kind of like, you know, am I going to get, it's like going back to these classic ones and going, yeah, okay, this is good. I like this. This is something, you know, and it gives us an opportunity to use Disney Plus for this thing. Because everyone's got different stuff. I mean, we're much more focused maybe on the new stuff or the new Star Wars or the Marvel shows, but it's nice to go back and kind of watch these classics as well.
Yeah, and it, like you were alluding to, it's not even necessarily that you are going to go and watch Snow White or Cinderella or Pinocchio. It's just nice knowing that they're there and available whenever you want them to be there, because you never know. Excuse me. Even if you don't have kids yourself, you know, your sister or your brother might bring their kids over, or you might end up in a situation where you've got to look after some kids, and just being able to say, all right, we're putting The Little Mermaid on right here. Yeah. Just cast it to the screen or whatever. Well, and I mean, yeah, you're good to go.
I had this with my nephew recently of like, right, what do you want to watch? And I gave him a choice of like four movies, and it was, yep, they're great. There we go. Sorted. But yeah. But nevertheless, let us know what you think of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Let us know either in the comments or get in touch with us on social media. Again, a big thank you to our patrons for making this show possible. But also, they are currently now giving their suggestions and voting on what's going to be coming up in December. We've got a few episodes coming up in the next few weeks. We've got one where we did about Sword in the Stone. And then we also did, what was it? I've completely thrown about. Oh, Star Wars A New Hope. We went and did that one. So if you've got any suggestions for the patrons, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back, like I said, next week. You've got in the next 2 weeks, you've got some episodes coming out. These are going to be a little bit more erratic, just, you know, one or two, maybe three or four a month, depending on how we're feeling. But there's going to be a couple a month at least. But nevertheless, we shall see you guys soon. Laters.
Later.